Hey, thank you, Richard. I know the school's been out, and I know there's a lot of people on the road, but I want you to know right up front, I believe God has a message that he wants every single one of us to hear this morning. And I don't say that with ego or pride. I just say that with humility. I really do. And I say that with conviction. I believe God wants us to hear what he has to say to us this morning. We're starting this sermon series, just how to hear from God. And today we're going to be especially talking about how to hear from God when the noise of the world and the voices around you and within you begin to drown out the voice of God. And here's a premise that we're going to start with. And if you don't agree with this premise, it's going to be really hard for you to track with this message today. And I want you to track with this message. Here's the premise. God is speaking and he is not silent. God is speaking. That's not what I'm preaching on, or I could go to the text and we could build a really strong case for the fact that God is always speaking. And here's the other part of the premise. God is speaking and God wants us to hear what he is saying to us. So that means if we're not hearing from God, that we are, this is the premise, we are allowing the voices of the world to drown out the voice of God in our heart and mind. But that shouldn't be that hard to see or understand or get. I really don't believe that, because we've all had the experience of being in a really, really noisy place, and it's just hard to have a conversation. It's hard to actually hear what somebody's saying to you. You go to a restaurant or it has a bar attached. There's music playing and people are talking all around you, and the waiter is coming and getting your order, and do you want some more tea and all of this stuff, right? And it's just hard to hear. It's hard to talk. It's hard to have a conversation. Certainly, if you're at a stadium, can you imagine being at the A&M game last night trying? I know. I watched the last 5 minutes of that game, and I'm like, you know, I used to tell people I went to East Texas State University, but after last night, I just want you to know I am a graduate of Texas A&M University in Commerce. Go A&M. Yeah. Okay. Hey, don't get me distracted. Listen to the sermon, okay? Now, can you imagine being at the stadium last night, trying to carry on a real-life conversation with someone? I mean, the PA system is blasting. The fans are blasting, just yelling and screaming. You can't. You'd be reduced to sign language, hand signals. You know, do you want something to eat? You want something to drink? I mean, you just can't do it. And that's not even to mention the voices that are going on inside our own head, which can easily drown out the voice of God, right? I mean, you're scrolling through Instagram or you got your ear pods on and you're listening to the music, or you're replaying some conversation that you had with someone that disturbed you. And there's these voices, and it's so easy to allow the voice of God to be drowned out by the voices all around you. But here is the premise. Did I mention this premise to you? That God is speaking. God wants you to hear. And so if you do not hear the voice of God speaking into your life, it is not because God is failing to speak. It is because you've allowed other voices to drown out his voice. And here's the thing, the little g god of this world is Satan. And when you allow the voice of God to be drowned out, you can't help it. Here's the reality. What you hear is you hear the voice of the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your heart, your mind, and most importantly, your passion for Jesus. So here's my question. Do you want to know how to hear from God when you can't even hear yourself think? If so, I want to ask you to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And I want you to understand, these are the words that Paul wrote to Christ followers in Corinth in just about 2,000 years ago. And I'm telling you, his words just had a way of cutting through the noise of his day. And I believe if we listen, that his words will cut through the noise of our day, not because Paul wrote it, but because the Holy Spirit of God inspired these words. And so I want to invite you to read this text with me by standing up. But listen, today, instead of reading, I just want you to stand and let me read it, because I want to kind of comment on the text as we go through it. We stand to honor God and say, God, we believe that now you are about to speak. Gary's about to shut up, and you, God, are about to speak. Listen to what it says. But when one turns to the Lord, I'm going to give you kind of the outline of the message today so that if you get lost, you'll know exactly where we're going. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So do you see the outline already? We turn, what happens? The veil is removed. We'll talk about all this, but I'm saying the veil's removed. It means that God allows us to see Jesus and hear what Jesus wants to say to us. So when we turn to the Lord, the veil's removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, say it with me, what does he say? So I turn to Jesus, and in turning to Jesus, I hear Jesus. The veil is removed. And I hear Jesus, and in hearing Jesus, what he does is he frees me. Frees me from what and to what? Let's see what he says. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image. Do you get that? There's freedom. There's freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So here's the deal. I turn to Jesus. He pulls back the veil. I hear from Jesus, and Jesus tells me how I might turn away from that which has me handcuffed, and he frees me then to live transformed into his glory, frees me to live like Jesus. You see, that's the text that's before us. That's what we're going to unpack this morning. Hey, God bless you. Will you go ahead and grab a seat? And I just want to pray over us. Lord Jesus, this morning, would you speak in such a way that we actually hear your voice this morning? We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hey, listen, the one thing that I want you to walk away with, this morning is this idea. Hearing from Jesus requires spending time in Jesus' presence. Just you and Jesus, Jesus' presence. The idea that you're not going to hear from Jesus in the crowd, and you're not going to hear from Jesus on the run. If you want to hear from Jesus, you're going to have to spend time in his presence. Where do I get that? Look at the first verse. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Veil, remove. Veil, remove. What in the world is that talking about? The veil, I turn. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I turn, and here's what Jesus does. When I turn to him and I block out all the other voices that are going on in my head and block out the voices that are they're sounding off around me, and what happens? Okay, I turn and he removes the veil. And I've already told you, I'm interpreting that to mean he allows us to see Jesus and he allows us to hear what Jesus has to say to us. Think about a theater. Now, I'm not talking about a cinema where you go watch No Time to Die, the new 007 movie, which I definitely want to go watch. I mean, I can't wait for that movie, right? But I'm not talking about a cinema. I'm talking about a theater. Imagine a theater. And so think Broadway, think Fair Park, think Wicked or Cats. I'd prefer thinking dogs, but anyway, it doesn't matter. And so now we're going and we're in a theater. And when you go into the theater, are the curtains closed or are they open? You go in, you enter. Are they closed or open? Help me out. They're closed. And so now, all of a sudden, there's no microphones on, no lights on behind the curtains, right? And so you know good and well there's all kinds of stuff going on behind the curtains. I mean, there are props that are probably still being put into place. There are actors taking their place. They're rehearsing their lines. They're choreographing their moves. You know there's all kinds of activity, but you can't see it and you can't hear it. But what happens then? When the time comes for the play to start, then the lights in the theater go down and the curtains come back and the lights come on. And now all of a sudden you can see everything happening on the stage and you can hear everything that is being said. It is amazing because the veil is removed and now you can see and now you can hear. Do you realize it's the very same way with Jesus? When we turn to him, we turn to Jesus, what happens? The veil is removed. Jesus pulls back the curtain, just like in the theater. He shines the spotlight on his glory, and we get to see Jesus, and we get to hear what Jesus wants to say to us. So it's really key that we turn to Jesus and spend time in the presence of Jesus, where all the other voices of the world are blocked out, because that's where he pulls back the veil. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to go just one level deeper into this text. This is where some of you are going to start daydreaming. Hopefully you won't be rude enough to just get up and walk out, but you're going to be going, oh no, this is so boring. But I'm telling you, I want you to hang in here and listen these next few moments, because I want you to hear in context, not just in a general way, oh, he pulls back the veil, lets you see Jesus, hear Jesus. I want you to see in the context of these actual verses what Paul is talking about when he says the Holy Spirit pulls back the veil. He says, first of all, in verse 7, in the very same chapter, the very same context, he says, the ministry of death carved in letters of stone. Here's the deal. We turn to Jesus, and what does he do? He pulls back the veil, and he allows us to see what? Paul said, the context is, he lets you see the ministry of death carved in letters on stone. Get it? No, I didn't think he did. I didn't either. And I'm like, what in the world does this mean, Lord? I can't understand this. All right, so listen, it's kind of like a puzzle. Let's put it together. He pulls back the veil. Here's what he wants you to see. Here's what he wants you to hear. The ministry of death. Oh, that sounds terrible. Let's set that aside then. Okay, let's go with carved in letters on stone, in letters on stone, in letters on stone. What is that talking about? I'm getting an image of Moses here. I'm getting an image of a mountain. I'm getting an image of two tablets. You're already ahead of me, aren't you? You know it's talking about the Ten Commandments. And he says he wants to pull back the veil, and he wants you to see what he is saying through the Ten Commandments, through the law of the Old Testament, and really through the entire revealed word of God. And what he's saying is this: when we turn to Jesus and we block out all the other voices, then we open up the word of God, and here's what he does. Through his word, he shines the spotlight on Jesus and the glory of Jesus and the majesty of Jesus and the goodness of Jesus. When you read the Bible, right, he's saying, don't steal, don't lie, don't murder. And what he's telling you is that's who God is, someone who doesn't steal, murder, lie, someone who is loving and gracious and kind and forgiving. It shines this beautiful spotlight on Jesus. Somebody this past week asked me, so how do you know that Jesus is really the Son of God? And I mean, 30 minutes later, that's like saying sick 'em to a guard dog, right? 30 minutes later, he's like, I will never ask this preacher another question in my life. If you'll get me out of this situation, God, oh, please. But about 30 minutes later, I shared with him everything I could think of. And one of the things that God put on my heart is I just said, man, just compare Jesus to every other religious leader you know. Muhammad preaching about Allah and all of the holy warriors. And I said, is that who you want to spend your eternity with? All of these holy warriors committing jihad. And then there's Gautama Buddha, who lived about 500 years before Jesus, and he started teaching about this cycle of reincarnation and where we ascend in levels of consciousness until we reach this nirvana state of non-existence. And I just said to him, non-existence doesn't sound all that exciting to me. And then you look at Jesus. I mean, when we open the word of God, we turn to Jesus and open his word. What happens? The word of God shines a spotlight on the goodness of Jesus. And Jesus at one point says, hey, can I just dumb this down for you? And I'm going, yes, Jesus, please, because I'm the dumbest guy in the class. So dumb it down for me. He goes, all I'm saying to you is I want you to love me and I want you to love everyone else. And when you come to heaven, when I come to earth, really, thy kingdom come. And I establish my kingdom on this earth. Listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to love me and I'm going to love you and you're going to love everyone around you, and everyone around you is going to love you. And you know what? I'm going to destroy evil, and there's not going to be any sin. And I'm like, sign me up, Jesus. That sounds awesome. See, the word of God shines the spotlight on the glory of Jesus. So wait a minute. It's the ministry of death written in letters on stone. Okay, let's deal with the ministry of death. How does getting alone with Jesus, turn to Jesus, open up the word, And so he pulls back the veil and lets me see the glory of Jesus. But what is the ministry of death? Well, the word reveals that Jesus is good. And can I just say it like this? It says that you and I ain't. That's bad English. I know, because we're not good. And we use bad English and sometimes bad words and sometimes still and sometimes we shame and sometimes we give in to greed instead of generosity. And so here's the thing. He calls that the ministry of death. So what does God want to reveal to you? This is going to be so exciting. You're going to love this. What God wants to reveal to you when you turn to him, he wants to pull back the curtain and reveal to you how amazing Jesus is. God is good. He wants to show you, hey, and guess what? You're not. You've fallen short of the glory of God. And oh, by the way, that spells doom for you. That spells hell for you. Aren't you glad you came this morning? That's the ministry of death that God wants you to see. Apart from Jesus, you're in trouble. But then he also says in the very next verse, did you catch it? In verse 8, he says, he talks about the ministry of the Spirit, which reveals, has even more glory. The ministry of the Spirit reveals and shines the spotlight. Okay, no, wait a minute. The Word of God shines the spotlight on the goodness of Jesus, but he goes, hey, but the Holy Spirit shines the spotlight on Jesus. Now, what is the ministry of the Spirit? Well, notice in verse 17, it says, the Lord is the Spirit. And the Lord is the Spirit. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here's what he's saying. Jesus is the Spirit. So we turn to Jesus. He pulls back the veil. And what does he allow us to see? The ministry of death. Written in letters on stone, but he also pulls back the veil and he lets us see the ministry of Jesus. He lets us see the cross. He lets us see not just the law that condemns us, but the grace that forgives us and the grace that saves us. He lets us see the cross and the empty tomb and Jesus standing there. He wants you to hear this. Jesus standing there saying, I love you enough to die for you. And I want you to live with me in eternity. And here's what eternity is going to look like. You're going to love me and I'm going to love you and you're going to love everyone else and they're going to love you because guess what? You're going to be perfect even as I am perfect. He goes, that's what I want you to hear. Now in context, check this out. Paul is talking about the Jews who had rejected Jesus. And this applies to everyone, Jew and Gentile. But in this text, he's talking about the Jews who had rejected Jesus. And he goes, hey, it's like you go to the theater and the curtain is closed and you can't see anything behind the curtains. He said, that's the way the Jews are who rejected Jesus. He said, they see the law and they see how the law shines a spotlight on God and they have a high view of God. God is great. God is amazing. God is good. But they're kind of blind. They can't really see behind the curtain that that's actually a ministry of death. And they can't see that the law says, but you guys aren't good. You've fallen short of the glory of God and the wages of sin is death. And they can't see that. And he said, then when it comes to the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of Jesus on the cross and at the empty tomb, he said, man, they're totally blind to that. Their eyes are open to the law, but they're blind to grace. And he says, here's the deal. When you turn to Jesus, he reveals to you. He reveals to you the glory of God. He reveals to you your sinfulness. And he reveals to you the grace that he wants to pour out into your life. So you want to hear from God? Here's the principle, spiritual principle. See if this makes sense. See if you agree. Don't just say, yeah. If it'll make you in sooner, we agree. Now, see if you agree. What he's saying is this. When you turn to Jesus, block out all the other noises in your mind and the voices around you. You turn to Jesus. What you do, what happens in the presence of Jesus is he begins to pull back the veil and he reveals to you how good God is and how in spite of your sin, he loves you and he wants to do an incredible work in your life and through your life. That's not a bad deal. And so we turn, and in turning, Hearing happens in the presence of Jesus. We hear. Now, let me illustrate this, and then we'll move on to the next point, because we're still just on turn. When we turn, we hear. That's the way it is in a marriage. That's the way it is in any relationship, right? You don't really hear from another person when you're just on the run, right? I mean, let's take a marriage for an example, right? You're on the run. You don't really hear each other's heart when you're just two ships passing in the night, when you're just powering through your work day and powering through picking up the kids and dropping them off at band practice and then getting them to the game. You don't really hear when you're just powering through your evening and there's suppers and there's dishes and there's diapers and there's baths and there's bedtimes and there's prayers to do. I mean, you don't really hear from each other when you are on the run. No, if you want to hear from each other, you have to actually turn to each other. Hire a babysitter. You go on a date. You get into a quiet place and you begin to talk and you begin to listen. And in talking and listening, you begin to hear the person that you're with sharing their heart with you. And in the process of them sharing their heart with you, you reconnect, and there's a reconnection of intimacy, and you begin to see into each other's heart. And see, the reality is it's hard to communicate on the run. We can convey information on the run, like putting it on a post-it note and slapping it on the fridge, and the note says, hey, pick up eggs on the way home. You can convey info on the run, but you can't connect and really share heart on the run. It's the same way with Jesus. You can't hear from Jesus on the run. Hearing from Jesus requires time with Jesus. Hearing happens when you carve out time and space for Jesus. Now, where are we in the message? We turn to Jesus. When we turn to Jesus, he pulls back the veil. He lets us see him in his glory, and he lets us hear what he wants to say into our life. What does he want to say to us? What's the next word in our verse? Freedom. He says, I want to show you how to find freedom from the sin that has trapped you. And I want to tell you how you can begin to live as I live. Let's break that down. Notice the very next part of the text. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Let's say it together one more time. What? Freedom. So we turn, and in turning, he pulls back the veil, and pulled back the veil. He speaks into our life. What does he speak? He speaks freedom. He speaks to us how we might find freedom from the temptation that has enticed us, the sin that has trapped us, and the habits that have defeated us. Have you ever been placed in handcuffs? Fess up. Okay, no, you better not fess up. I'll fess up for all of us. I have been. No, I know. True confession here. It was a plastic pair like this. Kid's toy, right? And I love these handcuffs because, I mean, it's just no problem to get unhandcuffed from these handcuffs because you just slip that baby on through until my wrist won't fit in, so forgive me, okay? But until you put your wrist in it and then you tighten that baby up and it dawns on you, ruh-roh. I got into something and wait a minute. Ow, that's tight. And you don't know how to get out of it unless you can find the secret. What do you think? Button, of course, you knew where I was going with this, right? Push the button and the baby comes right open, right? Do you realize it's the very same way with us? Every single one of us are handcuffed by something, sin, a habit, a relationship that is drawing you away from Jesus, not drawing you to Jesus. We're handcuffed by a thought, a website, or handcuffed by debt or a temper. And here's the reality. Apart from Jesus Christ, this is no kid's game. We can't find the button that releases us from that which has us handcuffed. But here's the cool part. When we turn to Jesus, he pulls back the curtain and we can hear the voice of Jesus. And what he does, he speaks into us and he shows us the button, the secret to breaking free from that which has us handcuffed. He gives us freedom to turn away from temptation, but he gives us freedom. He gives us the freedom. He tells us how to begin to live as he lives. Let me prove the point from the text. Look at this. It's the last point for those of y'all who are keeping score. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. When we turn to Jesus, he pulls back the veil and we hear from Jesus. And in hearing from Jesus, he tells us how to find the freedom to get unhandcuffed from that which has trapped us. And he tells us how to begin to live as Jesus lives, transformed into his image. That's not bad. Let me try to illustrate this. Here's the reality. Any of y'all ever get anxious about anything? Okay, we all do, right? If you're sitting here going, nope, no, not me. Well, then I know it just means you hadn't been watching the news. Watch the news and you'll be anxious by the time you finish watching the news. Or this, I mean, you know, the truth is, you hear about a friend who's got diagnosed with cancer and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm so worried, I'm so concerned for them. And then you're thinking, oh my gosh, I hope I don't get a diagnosis of cancer. Or there's an unwanted pregnancy and you love this person and you're like, I'm hurting for them. Or you wanna have a child and you can't have a child and the doctor says, I'm sorry. And you're just like, ah, my world is falling. I mean, there's just so many things that we're anxious about and torn up about, but here's the thing. Jesus didn't live with anxiety. How many of y'all think that Jesus ever chewed his fingernails down to the quick because he was so worried? I mean, the Bible says it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross even, the joy. I mean, Jesus didn't worry even when he was headed towards his own death. He lived without worry and anxiety and fretting. And here's the thing that he wants us to understand, that when we turn to Jesus, we find the freedom to live like Jesus. Why? Because he pulls back the curtain and all of a sudden we hear his voice. And when we hear his voice, we hear him saying things like this to us in the midst of our anxiety, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Can we say amen to that, right? And we hear him saying to us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we hear him saying to us, if God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus frees us to live like him with peace in the midst of the trials, hope in the face of despair, and joy in the midst of the pain. Hearing Jesus frees us to live like Jesus. Now, as we've worked our way through this text, turn, pulls back the veil, we hear, and in hearing, he speaks to us about how we might find freedom from that which has us handcuffed and find freedom to live transformed into his image, find freedom to live as Jesus lives. And some of you are listening to me and you're going, Gary, I'm living that out in my life. And you're living that out because you've already found a time and a place where you just block out the noises of the world, you set your phone aside, and you are sitting there with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and you are saying, Jesus, I'm blocking out all the other voices because I want to hear your voice. You're turning to Jesus, and he's pulling back the veil for you. If you're doing that, I say to you, God bless you. Man, keep it up, and would you pray right now for the people around you that they would actually hear Jesus, the voice of Jesus, calling them to turn aside to him, just like you are doing every single day. But I know I'm talking to some others who would say, I ain't gonna confess this publicly, but Gary, can I be honest? I hadn't heard the voice of Jesus in ages. I talked to Jesus on the run, and you're right. It's hard to hear Jesus on the run. I haven't heard a fresh word from God since I don't know when. I haven't heard the voice of God calling me to deeper levels of devotion. I haven't heard the voice of God convicting me of sin and calling me to repent in ages. I haven't heard God giving me fresh insight and wisdom into how to deal with the frustrations that I'm facing at the office. You just say, I haven't heard the voice of God in so long. I'd be embarrassed to admit it. Publicly. Listen to me. Jesus invites you to turn to him. He is speaking, and he wants you to hear what he's saying. Don't settle for letting the noise of your life drown out the voice of God. Decide today that you are going to schedule a time to turn to Jesus every single day this week, and you're gonna set aside your phone, you're gonna set aside the distractions, and you're gonna sit there in the presence of Jesus, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, and you're gonna read the word, and you're gonna sit in the presence of Jesus, and you're gonna say, Jesus, would you pull back the veil? Would you let me see the ministry of death written in letters on tablets of stone? And would you let me see the ministry of the Spirit? Would you let me see, yes, the word which tells me how amazing you are? And would you let me see the ministry of the Spirit which tells me how much you love me and how you want to shower me with grace instead of condemn me by the law? Just say, Lord, I want you to pull back the veil and let me see you and let me hear you. Remember, God's always speaking, and he wants to speak into your life, but we have to take the time to turn aside to hear the voice of Jesus. One other thing. There are some of you this morning that you don't hear the voice of Jesus because you're not a child of Jesus through faith in Jesus. Listen, what you need to do this morning is hear the voice of Jesus calling you to repent of your sin and place your faith, your trust in him, and commit yourself to follow him as your Lord, your King, your God. See, there's a kingdom, and it's the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is crashing and will one day fully crash into this earth. And Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he'll only ever be the king of the kingdom. You'll never be the king. He died on a cross for you. He rose again, conquering death for you. But he says, he's calling out. He says, what you have to do is you have to admit that you're a sinner. Admit the ministry of death. God is good. You are not. You're condemned to die. You have to admit that. You have to believe, Jesus, you died in my place. You took my death upon yourself. And Jesus, I believe that though I'm condemned by the law, I am saved by grace, and I receive the salvation you offer by grace. And I commit myself to follow you as my Lord and my King. Hey, Richard's gonna come and close this out, and I'm gonna ask you to do something. Maybe it's gonna sound strange, but, and Richard, I've gone a little bit over, surprise, surprise. And so here's the thing. I'm gonna ask you for 60 seconds. We're just gonna put the verse that we've been talking about this morning back up on the screen. And I want you to just sit there and just read these words. And just say, Lord, speak, your servant listens. Lord, pull back the veil. Lord, speak into my life. Show me how to find freedom from that which has tempted me, freedom to live like you live. Oh God, speak, pull back the veil. Let me hear your voice right now. Would you just sit there for 60 seconds? And Richard's gonna be coming up to close us out.
God, we want to hear from you. You have so much you want to say to us and teach us. And Father, we pray that we would not allow the busyness of our life get in the way. The noise that runs in the background every day of our life drown you out. So, Father, let this 60 seconds that we just spent be a representation of what we want to be in our life every single day. We give us the margin, help us prioritize, help us make space for you. And Father, we commit to center our life around you and to spend that time with you. So we pray that you would meet us as we walk into your presence on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's really two things I want to say at the end of Gary's message. We're going to be in this message, this series, for about 5 weeks, hearing from God, right? And there may be some of you, if Gary just kind of walked through that gospel, this is the first thing. As Gary just walked through that gospel a second ago, and maybe you're hearing that for the first time or new and fresh in a way, and maybe there was something inside you that leapt a little bit when he talked. Or maybe there was a conviction that washed over you. We call that the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that's active and that's real. It's a very real thing. And so if that happened to you, as Gary was talking about what Jesus did for you in his sacrifice, now we're gonna close in a minute, but when we do, that little glass room behind the sound booth, we just call that the next step room. Would you just walk back there and talk to someone? They would love to have a conversation with you about meeting Jesus and what that means. The second thing I want you to hear is that there are many of you that for quite some time you have been very consistent in your daily devotionals, your daily quiet times, and you're still doing it. Now, there are some of you in this room that at one time in your life were great, but not so good anymore. And then there's some of you in this room that have never really gotten started in your daily devotionals, spending time every day with God. And as we walk through this series together, what a great way, just fresh and new, to say, this is the series, this is the time in my life where I'm going to put a stake in the ground and I'm going to commit to being alone with the Lord and communing with him in just some quiet time. And we want to resource you. We want to help you, right? So what we want you to do is we want you to find a time and find a place. Both of those are very important. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is you leave today on the tables. There are these cards. Do not leave here without these cards. It just gives you some instructions about finding a time and finding a place. It also has a QR code. Go to this website, and it's going to give you some information about resources that we're going to give you every single week during this series that will help you in your own time alone with God. This is a big deal, guys. This is a massive deal. And we want you to join us in this journey. So make it a decision today that this series, for these next 5 weeks, every day, you're going to meet with the Lord. You're going to read his word. You're going to pray to him. Use these resources to help you along the way. Hey, thanks so much for coming. If you're a guest, we'd love to meet you at the Next Step Room. Conversations about Jesus, we'd love to meet you in the Next Step Room. If you came this morning to give your tithes and offerings, you can do that on the way out or anytime 24/7 online. And we hope you have a fantastic Sunday. You're dismissed.